Chapter 13. Pancake.
As you can see, all the orangutans are present and accounted for,
Kyle teased.
I've been keeping a careful eye on them today.
I sighed, realizing Mom must have told him about my theory. I was back at Monkey Mountain, standing in front of the orang exhibit. I'd stopped there on my way to Mom's office. Kyle had wandered up, a takeout bag from Pasta Fazula in his hand. I hadn't actually expected any of the apes to be missing. Although, in truth, I'd secretly hoped one might be, so it would prove my theory right. The exhibit, like everyone at Monkey Mountain, was spectacular. It had been modeled after an actual place in the rainforest on Borneo, the orangutan's natural habitat. Although most of the trees were fake, they looked real enough, and they provided plenty of places for the orangs to climb and play. Unlike chimps and gorillas, orangutans spend most of their time above the ground, and this was certainly the case at Fun Jungle. The adults were nestled in crooks of trees, either eating or sleeping, while the younger ones were constantly on the move through the branches. At the moment, to the great delight of the tourists around me, they appeared to be playing a game of arboreal tag, chasing one another all around the forest.
"Where's Pancake?" I asked. "I don't see him."
"My goodness," Kyle gasped overdramatically. "You're right. He's busted out again."
"Where is he really? Still sick?"
"I guess so. You heading to see your mom?"
"Yeah."
"Come on back."
Kyle led me to the closest door that accessed the employee area of Monkey Mountain, then entered that day's code on the security keypad. It clicked open and we slipped through quickly, trying not to draw much attention. A family still noticed us, though. I saw the kids staring after me jealously, wondering why I got to go behind the scenes and they didn't. If the kids had been able to see the backstage area, they might not have been so jealous. The corridors were dull, unpainted cement, and the housing areas for the animals were much less beautiful than the parts tourists could see. Except for a window that looked out onto the gorilla exhibit, my mother's office looked pretty much like any other office in the world. On the way, though, Kyle paused by a window that went from the hall into the backstage area of the baboon exhibit. I joined him to see what he was looking at. Baba Booney was curled up in the corner of his cage, which was unusual. As the dominant male, he was extremely proud, and was usually parading in front of the tourists. "How's his tooth?" I asked.
"He definitely busted it," Kyle said. "I don't know how. Chewing on the bars or something. One of his big canines. Doc's going to replace it today."
"How?"
"The same way you'd get a tooth replaced if you cracked one. Doc will make a mold of the old one, use that to sculpt a new one, and then screw it into Baba Booney's jaw. Primate teeth are almost exactly the same as ours."
He led the way onward to the office. Dad was waiting there with Mom. Both of them were eating lunch. Homemade tuna fish sandwiches and carrot sticks. Mom had the camera feed from the orangutan backstage area up on her computer monitor. Pancake was still lounging listlessly. Dad was sitting at Kyle's desk.
"Hey," I said, pleased to see him. "I didn't know you were going to be here."
Dad tossed me a sandwich wrapped in tinfoil.
"If my son's going to play hooky from school, I figured I might as well eat lunch with him."
"That's my desk," Kyle told him.
"Sorry."
Dad grabbed his sandwich, hopped out of the chair, and waved graciously to it.
"It's all yours," he said, then perched on top of a large black case marked Fragile.
"What's that?" I asked, taking a bite of my tuna salad.
"Camera equipment," Dad told me, "to record the orangutans."
"There's already cameras to record the orangutans," Kyle said.
He sat at his desk and unloaded his takeout bag from Pasta Fazula. He'd gotten the lasagna, which I considered a mistake. It was always frozen and then reheated, and sometimes they didn't cook it all the way through. Kyle was still pretty new at Fun Jungle, though. He hadn't learned which foods to avoid yet.
"Yes, there are cameras," Mom agreed. "But I can't get what I want off of them at the moment." She turned to me. "I did what you suggested when I got back from Doc's. I called security to see if they could dig up any footage of Pancake getting out of his exhibit."
Kyle laughed.
"You really think that could have happened?"
"I thought it'd be best to examine the evidence before completely dismissing the theory," Mom told him. "Unfortunately, security can't give me the evidence right now. Both techs are too busy scanning all the park footage for any trace of the rhino hunter."
"Oh," I said. While this was disappointing, it was also reassuring to know that security was working so diligently to find the shooter. Dad patted the black camera case. So I'm going to install our own camera. Then we'll have access to the footage without needing to go through security. It'll record all night, and we can check it in the morning to see if we really have an escapee or not.
Looks like not to me. Kyle pointed to the camera feed from the orangutans. Seeing his pancake is still there.
But he's still not feeling well, I countered.
Animals get sick, Kyle said. They don't usually break out of their exhibits, rob ice cream stores, and then break back in again.
Most animals aren't as clever as Pancake is, Mom told him. Kyle rolled his eyes like he couldn't believe any of us were taking this seriously, but he didn't say anything else. Can we go see Pancake? I asked. After you finish your lunch, Mom said.
I crammed as much of my tuna fish sandwich into my mouth as I could, then spoke with my cheeks stuffed like a chipmunk's.
Okay, now?
Dad laughed while Mom shook her head and sighed. For heaven's sake, chew your food, she warned, or you'll choke to death.
I'm kind of interested to get in there myself, Dad said, bawling his used tinfoil and tossing it into the recycling bin.
Mom knew there was no point in trying to dissuade both of us any longer. Oh, all right. She grabbed her new crutches and got to her feet. Dad hoisted the camera case onto his shoulder and started for the door. I followed him, and Mom dropped in behind us. Kyle waved goodbye from his desk.
Have fun.
He jammed a forkful of lasagna in his mouth, then gagged.
Ugh, this is half frozen.
While he was spitting it into the trash, we slipped out of the office.
What did Aunt Monty want with you today? Mom asked as we headed through the corridors of Monkey Mountain.
I was still trying to chew up all the sandwich I had in my mouth.
What do you mean?
Well, you went off with him after you left me at the medical clinic.
Mom wasn't having any trouble adapting to her crutches at all. In fact, she was flying along on them like she'd been using them her whole life. I hadn't realized Mom had been watching me with Atmani. I pretended to be busy chewing to give myself time to work out an answer.
He just had some questions about what happened in Safari Land last night.
Like what? Mom sounded as though she didn't quite believe me.
Whether I'd had a good look at the hunter. Did I think he was going after Rhonda again? Stuff like that. I hated lying to my parents. Absolutely hated it. But I knew that if I told them the truth, that JJ had railroaded me into helping, they'd go right to him to complain. And then JJ would be upset with me for betraying his confidence, and things would probably get worse from there.
Does security have any leads? Dad asked.
Atmani said they had footage of the hunter going over the fence on one of the security cameras, but they couldn't tell anything about him from it.
I purposefully omitted the part about the hunter being a woman, because Honecker had warned me not to share anything I'd learned after our meeting, even with my parents.
They don't have anything? Mom sighed. Guess that's why they're monopolizing all the security footage.
I suppose, I said, although talking about the cameras made me think of something. I tried to pick my words carefully, not wanting to let on how much I knew.
Dad, you followed the hunter over the fence last night, right?
Well, I didn't exactly follow him, Dad corrected. I lost him in the exhibit, but then I found where he'd gone over and used that route myself.
Atmani said it was close to where one of the security cameras was posted.
Dad thought about that for a moment.
Was it? I didn't notice. Or maybe I couldn't see it. It was awfully dark out there.
We reached the door to the orangutan area. Inside the employee areas, the doors didn't require coded keypad entries, but there was still security to protect the animals. Mom's official Fun Jungle ID had an electronic sensor built into it. She waved this in front of a sensor built in the wall, which wasn't so easy to do on crutches, and then the door unlocked automatically.
What are you thinking? She asked me.
Well, there aren't very many cameras out on that fence, I said, holding the door open for Mom. They're pretty spaced out. So why did the hunter go over so close to one?
He was in a hurry, Dad said.
On the way out, not on the way in. If you were going to sneak into the park to commit a crime, you'd probably take your time doing it, right? So wouldn't you scope out the fence and pick the spot farthest from a camera?
Inside the orangutan care room, Mom and Dad both turned to me, impressed. Dad said,
I didn't even think of that. I wonder if Honecker has.
I lowered my eyes, even more frustrated that I couldn't reveal I was actually helping investigate.
Maybe the hunter didn't see the camera, Mom suggested. Your father didn't see it in the dark.
But I wasn't looking for it,
Dad set the camera case down and popped the latches on it. If I were planning on sneaking into the zoo, or any place, I'd certainly be on the lookout for security cameras. In a way, Dad was an authority on sneaking into places. On occasion, he'd been assigned to take photos of animals in countries that were closed to tourists and journalists. At times like that, we had to find other ways over the border. For example, he'd once had to infiltrate Somalia to get photos of Hirola, one of the most endangered antelope in the world. It was dangerous. Mom had made him promise to stop taking those assignments, but he'd been very good at it. After all, he'd never been caught. The backstage area for the orangutans was a mess, but there was a good reason for that. Orangutans, like all primates, are very smart and need plenty of mental stimulation. So the keepers give them lots of stuff to play with. The orangs were very fond of cardboard boxes and burlap bags, as well as mental challenges to work out. These usually involved food. The keepers would hide treats inside wads of newspaper or freeze them inside giant cubes of ice, and the apes would have to figure out how to get it. None of these things were allowed on exhibit because they made a mess and looked inauthentic in the rainforest, as if an Indonesian rainforest inside a fake mountain in Texas was in any way authentic in the first place. But the orangutans loved them, so their backstage area was often full of garbage. Pancake was the champion cardboard box shredder of the orangs. He could turn a good-sized box into scraps within minutes, but today he had ignored the three that had been given to him. In fact, he hadn't moved from his nest of burlap sacks. However, he perked up as we entered, excited to have company, and intrigued by Dad's big camera case. When Dad opened it, he hauled himself up and approached the bars of his enclosure, grunting eagerly, wondering what could possibly be hidden inside the mysterious black object.
"Hiya, Pancake," Dad said. "You look like you're feeling a little better."
"He does," Mom agreed. "He was pretty miserable when I first saw him this morning." Pancake knew my whole family and seemed to especially like Dad. Now he grinned at him, revealing a set of teeth that, except for their size, looked surprisingly human. Although I normally would have been thrilled to be so close to one of the orangutans, it wasn't something I got to do often, and it was always a treat. I was distracted by several things at once. I was still thinking about the hunter and how she'd climbed over the fence. It was hard to believe she hadn't seen the security cameras, even at night. If anything, the cameras were designed to be seen. That way they'd act as a deterrent. Someone was much less likely to climb the fence if they thought they'd be recorded doing it. Meanwhile, the blurry images of the hunter still stuck in my mind. Although I'd been surprised that the hunter was a woman at first, it sadly didn't narrow the field of suspects down that much. Women might not have hunted as much as men did, but there were still plenty who did it, and lots of them probably had dark hair long enough to make a ponytail out of. Then there was the gun to consider. The fact that the hunter had been using a silencer at night, but not the previous morning, still nagged at me. Something seemed important about that fact, but I couldn't figure out what it was. And if all that wasn't enough to distract me, I was finally in the orangutan habitat, site of the potential jailbreak. As adorable as Pancake was, I found myself drawn to his habitat itself, looking for evidence that there'd been an escape. Unfortunately, I couldn't see any. I realized, to my own annoyance, that I'd been hoping for something obvious, like a poorly hidden tub of melted ice cream or misshapen metal bars that had been twisted open and shut again. Instead, the habitat looked exactly like it always did. Pancake was sticking his arm through the bars now, palm open, gesturing for Dad to give him what was inside the case. Orangutan arms are startlingly long when fully extended, almost twice the length of the ape's legs. Dad laughed. "Sorry, buddy, this is way too expensive to let you have it." Pancake now made an overblown sad face, like a little kid who hadn't gotten what he wanted and was trying to make his parents feel bad about it. And it kind of worked. I immediately started to feel sad for him, even though I knew he was probably only acting. "Pancake," Mom said, "you know you can't have that. But how about this instead?" She took one of the carrot sticks she brought for lunch out of her pocket. Pancake's frown immediately melted away. His open palm shifted in Mom's direction. Mom set the carrot in Pancake's hand, and within a second it was inside Pancake's mouth. The orangutan happily munched away.
"Doesn't look like your stomach's bothering you anymore," Mom said.
"That doesn't mean he didn't eat the ice cream, though, right?" I asked.
"Of course not," Mom replied. "Stomach aches don't last forever."
I asked, "Did anyone ever check his poop for signs of candy?"
Dad wrinkled his nose in disgust.
"Ew, gross." "I told the orangutan keepers to keep an eye out," Mom said, "but I didn't hear anything from them."
"Do you think they even did it?" Dad inquired. "I wouldn't sift through orangutan poop if I didn't have to."
Mom shrugged. "It'd probably be a wild goose chase anyhow. The candy's probably already out, and the chocolate ice cream would have already looked kind of like poop on the way in."
"Please," Dad grimaced, "I just ate."
"Get over it," Mom teased. "You want to work at a zoo, there's going to be poop talk."
Pancake finished eating the carrot, then extended his hand for another treat. Mom turned her pockets inside out to show that they were empty.
"Sorry, Pancake, that's all I had."
Pancake pasted his comic frown back on and immediately aimed his open palm at Dad again.
"Forget it," he told him. "You're not getting this."
He took the video camera out of the case.
"Why's that so big?" I asked.
"Because unlike the camera on your phone, this one can record all night. There's 16 hours of storage in it." Dad looked up at the corners of the room that faced the exhibit.
"Guess this should go right up there next to the official security camera."
Sure enough, there was a security camera already mounted in the corner, aimed right at the orangutan exhibit. This was the one Mom had been accessing the feed from in her office, the one security hadn't reviewed the footage from yet. I looked back to the cage. There was only one gate built into it, a gate that worked like a sliding door rather than hinging open like a normal door. Instead of a key-based lock, however, it had an electronic one.
"How's that lock work?" I asked.
"The same way the lock on the door to get in here does," Mom said. "With this." She pulled out her ID with the electronic sensor, then pointed to a sensor pad on the wall 6 feet away from the orangutan cage. "If you wave it by that pad, the cage unlocks." At the sight of the ID card, Pancake forgot all about trying to get the camera from Dad and turned his attention to Mom again.
"Sorry, boy." Mom tucked the card away again. "I was only displaying it. You're not getting out right now."
The frown creased Pancake's face a third time.
"He knows the card opens the gate?" I asked.
"Of course," Mom said. "Pancake doesn't miss a trick." Dad looked at the gate again, intrigued.
"Wasn't there a lock that needed a key here before?"
"Yes," Mom replied, "back before the park opened. But you might recall that didn't work so well. Bung swiped a key off one of the keepers within the first few days, hid it away, and kept letting himself out at night. So we switched to this new system. Even if the orangutans steal an ID card, they won't be able to work the sensor. It's too far for them to reach, even with those enormous arms." I looked from Pancake, whose arm was still outstretched, to the sensor on the wall on my side of the bars. Mom was right. The orang was 3 feet short of being able to trigger the gate to unlock.
"But suppose Pancake did figure out how to escape the cage? There's nothing that would keep him locked in this room, right?"
"True," Mom agreed.
"So he could go right through the halls and get out into the park?" I asked.
"Yes," Mom said. "It wouldn't be that hard. But getting back in would be impossible. At night, Monkey Mountain is locked down tight. You can't enter the building without knowing the entry code, and there's no way an orangutan would know that."
"He could guess it," I suggested.
2 nights in a row?" Mom asked skeptically. "It changes daily. The odds against guessing the right code once must be astronomical, let alone twice. Assuming Pancake even knew how the key code entry worked in the first place. And then, once he got past that, he'd have to get the code right again to access the behind-the-scenes areas, and then he'd still need the electronic ID card to get back into his room. Orangutans are smart, but I can't imagine one of them could figure out how to do all that."
"What if he propped all the doors open after he went through them?" I asked. "Then he wouldn't need the codes to get back in."
"Good point," Mom said. "Only at night, the alarms will trigger if any door is left open for more than 5 minutes, so that wouldn't work. And if there's any other way in or out of here, I don't have the slightest idea what it could be."
Dad held up the camera he'd brought.
"Well, that's what this is for." He looked up to where the other security camera was mounted, high above the floor. "I'll need a ladder to get this up there."
I think there's one in the maintenance closet," Mom said. "I'll show you where it is."
Dad asked, "Mind if Teddy sticks around and helps me set things up? I could use an extra hand."
I looked to Mom expectantly. "Can I?"
"I suppose," she replied, "though you two better keep a good eye on your tools. Don't leave them anywhere near Pancake here.
If you drop your guard for a moment, he'll swipe something, and the next thing you know, this whole cage will be in pieces. Then we'll be up to our armpits and escaped orangutans. We'll be careful, I told her. I swear. Dad moved his tools to the wall right beside the door, several feet out of Pancake's reach. Then we headed out to get the ladder. As we did, Pancake started hooting sadly. We all turned back to him. He was frowning again, smushing his face between the bars, making himself look as pitiful as possible.
He doesn't want us to leave, I said.
He doesn't really care if we leave or not, Mom said. He's only trying to manipulate us. Pancake's as smart as they come. If any orang could find out how to get out of here and back in again, I'd bet on him. We left the room. Pancake hooted even more sadly. But after the door closed, I glanced back through the window at him. The frown instantly left his face, and he quickly turned his attention to shredding one of the cardboard boxes.
I'll be darned, Dad said. That ape could win an Oscar.
My phone buzzed in my pocket. I pulled it out to see that Summer was calling.
Mind if I take this? I asked. It's important.
Who is it? Mom inquired.
Summer, I said.
Dad and Mom instantly shared a knowing smile, then turned away, hoping I wouldn't see it. I sighed, stepped away from them, and answered,
Aren't you supposed to be in class right now? You should talk, Summer shot back. You aren't even in school. We still on for 4 o'clock today?
Sure. Where are we going?
To Violet Grace's aunt and uncle's ranch.
My parents were trying to act like they weren't eavesdropping on my conversation, but they were. Dad whispered something to Mom that made her giggle, and then she punched him in the arm lightly. I figured it all had to do with me and Summer.
Why? I asked. Remember those exotic game ranches we were talking about yesterday? The ones where people pay to kill animals from all over the world? Well, they own the biggest one in this whole area.
I lowered my voice so my parents wouldn't hear me as I asked.
And you think they might have something to do with Rhonda?
Probably not, Summer said. But they know pretty much every big game hunter for a couple hundred miles in any direction.
Which means they might have a very good idea who our poacher is.